comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. You matter, and we're here because you have a right to know. I want to say hello to all of our listeners in New Orleans, Los Angeles, Pittsburgh, Memphis, Illinois, Texas, Washington, the UK, Wisconsin, Thailand, Russia, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Netherlands, Australia, China, Estonia, and all the rest of the world. There's someone that is known to all of you all over the world, someone that you're familiar with, someone that goes by different names in different parts of the world. He's called Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, Almas, Yowie, and other names. He's seen by people all over the planet, usually in remote locations. Well, tonight, we're going to be talking with Jeffrey Gonzalez, the founder of the Sanger Paranormal Society in California. Folks, if you have ever wondered about Bigfoot, if you have ever even just slightly entertain the idea that stories of these massive and elusive creatures just might possibly be true, well, then you want to make sure you stay tuned in for this entire show. In fact, you don't want to just stay tuned in. You want to stay glued to your radio, your cell phone, your computer, however it is that you're listening to the show. Because Jeffrey Sanger has some information for us this evening that just possibly could be blockbuster information. If you have any interest in Bigfoot, even just a curiosity, you want to stay tuned. We already sent out the K-Files today, and if you're not subscribed, you didn't get it. But if you are subscribed to the K-Files, then you received your K-Files today. Unless you subscribed and then you did not activate your subscription. You know, when you subscribe, you just go to my website and right in the middle of the page, you'll see where it says K-Files. Click that. It only asks one question, and that is your email address. And when you put that in, then it sends to you automatically a confirmation link. And you have to use that link to activate your subscription. Now, we do it that way to make sure that we don't spam anybody, okay? So if you didn't activate it, you didn't get your K-Files. So be sure you do that. And if you haven't even subscribed yet, well, get with it. And subscribe. What are you waiting for? It's free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. And it's always got good information in it. As a matter of fact, the one we sent out today is literally packed with great information. Videos, articles, and even a download of some free software. We'll be back with Jeffrey Gonzalez right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest, as I said at the top of the show, is Jeffrey Gonzalez, and he has been our guest on a number of occasions. Tonight, he is going to be sharing with us one of the most amazing stories that I've heard in a very, very long time. Jeffrey Gonzalez, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Outstanding. Now, Jeffrey, for those who perhaps are new to the show, they haven't heard you before, let me say that you are the founder and director of the Sanger Paranormal Society. And I went to your website today. I did some, by the way, folks, if you click on Jeffrey's picture on my site, it takes you to his site, okay? But I went over to your site today, and I did something I haven't done before, and that is I clicked on where it says team, our team, and it's got all the pictures of the people who are on your team.
Right.
And what I see, I was pretty amazed. What I saw, there's two very normal-looking guys and three absolutely stunningly beautiful women. How did you manage that?
Money and a shopping spree.
Well, you know, it didn't work for Hugh Hefner. Yeah, he was supposed to get married over the weekend, and his bride-to-be has called it off. So
bummer.
Yeah, and he certainly got money and shopping sprees.
I can barely hear you, Kevin.
And that won't change either. Okay, now, Jeffrey, you sent me an email. This email tells of something really astounding happening and having to do with this creature that we call Bigfoot or Sasquatch.
Yes.
I want you to just take it from there and tell people what it is that has happened that's so astounding.
Well, for those who don't know what we do, we have a paranormal team, and we investigate everything paranormal, from UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, anything crazy, weird, we're there. And in order for me to do that, you know, you cannot be, I don't want to say the professional expert on any type of certain field. So what I do is I try to surround myself with people who are experts in that area. And Bigfoot happens to be one of my favorite long-time paranormal or cryptozoologist type of creature that I've just always loved since I was a kid. I mean, In Search of Leonard Nimoy, that's where it first introduced it to me in The Legend of Boggy Creek. And, you know, I've always dreamed of going up to the mountains and camping with friends and all of a sudden seeing something walk across. That's just what would have been my dream right there. So in 2009, I was given the opportunity. Somebody put me in contact with an actual Bigfoot investigator by the name of David Ragosa, who lives here in Fresno. And somebody told me that he is actually a Bigfoot investigator and has been doing it. And at that time was an investigator for the BFRO. And I said, really? In Fresno, of all places? And that just blew me away. So it took me a while to get his phone number, and I got it. Went down to the house. I talked to him over the phone, and he told me, well, come on by, and let's talk for a little while, and let me get to know you. And, you know, I did. And this was in early 2009, and what happened is, so happened, I think this was like 2 months before Memorial Day, he said, well, Jeff, in Memorial Day, we do a Bigfoot expedition every year, and we go to the spot that he has been visiting for about 7 years. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, it's up in the Sierra someplace. I mean, I don't tell people where this place is at, but we go up there, and there is a lot of excitement in that area. And I said, well, how did you find this place? And he said, well, 15 years ago, David, just to let everybody know his credentials, David Ragosa is a high school principal. here in Fresno, California. He's also an award-winning high school principal, a former science teacher, has a master's degree, and again, you know, very credible. Most of everybody in the Bigfoot community knows of David Ragosa, and they know him to be an honorable person. Of course, you know, if you're a high school principal, you better be.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened is he said, well, why don't you come up Memorial Day weekend? Now, we're talking 2009, and he invited me, and it was just like a kid in a candy store. You know, I couldn't even go to sleep the night before. You know, I packed all my stuff. My wife saw me, how giddy I was the night before. It's like, oh, my God, my dream is actually coming true. I'm going to go look for Bigfoot. I mean, how many people can actually say that, oh, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm going on a Bigfoot expedition. You know, that's crazy. So David picked me up. I drove in David's Jeep because this place is in the middle of nowhere where he goes. And it takes you 2.5 hours to get there from Fresno. And so, you know, we drove up one morning and we went up, and I mean, we went up round dirt roads, up this, left that, right that. And trust me, I had no clue how to get there. I mean, even if you wanted me to tell you, to draw you a map, forget it. There's just no way. This is in the middle of nowhere. And I asked him, how did you find this place? And he said, well, I was north of Fresno in a little town called Coarse Gold. And he was asking some questions. I guess he was doing maybe an investigation up there. And he ran into an elderly Native American. And he told him what he was doing and if he knew of any place where he knew that these, you know, creatures might be living. And, you know, the elderly Native American, you know, looked at David and said, you know, I trust you to be an honorable person. I think you're just going to go and you're just, you know, want to go and see for yourself if these things do exist. And so we told him about a location, and David went and has been going there for now, as of today, close to 9 years, 10 years now. So that Memorial Day weekend of 2009, we went up. What he does is he goes up and he sets up, you know, your game cameras, you know, motion sensor cameras that was, you know, that takes, you know, your video and your photo if you cross in front of the motion sensor. And he's been doing that, and he goes up there and he sets these things up, you know, sometimes by himself and sometimes with, you know, friends. And he does it, you know, whenever he gets a chance. You know, he's married, he has kids, he's married, has a wife, kids, and he's a principal at a high school. So during the day, you're talking 7:30 to 7:30. He works 12-hour days. So this guy is a workaholic, and you have to when you're a principal at a high school. So whenever he gets a chance, he'll go up there and he'll set up cameras. And he's been doing that for, like I said, 9 years. And the first time I went up to his house and he showed me, you know, his all his pictures and different types of videos that he has gotten in the past. And I was looking at these things. And I've seen, you know, I saw footprints, I saw pictures that, yeah, were clear, not clear enough for me, you know, it could have been anything type of deal. And a lot of the footprints that he had were, you know, pretty darn cool. You know, this is the stuff I've seen on TV. So that Memorial Day weekend, 2009, we go up and, you know, we're camping and we go hiking and we, you know, do all the stuff. And you know, he's yelping, and, you know, that first night that we were there kind of blew me away. He did some yelping, and there was, like, I think five of us there. And around the campfire, like 8, 9 o'clock at night, and he's doing some hollering. And no sooner than 10 seconds, 15 seconds later, we got some responses back. And, you know, I'm saying, okay, yeah, right, okay, sounds like a coyote or maybe a dog. Basically just, you know, mimicking his yell. And he did it again, and we got the responses back. And where we're at, you know, there's canyons, and the sound was coming from a far away canyon. And we're talking miles and miles and miles away. And, you know, and I said, okay, you know, dog or coyote. I mean, yeah, that's what it is. You know, I'm not thinking Bigfoot at this time at all. I mean, come on, this is my first time on a trip like this. So You know, he stopped yelping. You know, we're sitting around the campfire. You know, we're just BSing a little bit. Then he gets up and tries it again. And he does some yelping. And we got some responses back. But this time, the responses that he got back were about 50 yards from us. And
I bet that was a little bit unsettling for you.
What's that?
I bet that was a little bit unsettling for you.
Yeah, you have to remember, we're with these guys. Everybody's carrying pieces. You know, everybody has 44s, and that's the smallest they're carrying. Everybody has 44s. That's it. And I can see the reaction on David's face and the reaction on Joe Wall's face. And Joe Wall happens to be a correctional officer for the state of California. And they're really serious. You know, I'm looking at them. I'm going, yeah, right, guys. Okay, who's out there? Seriously. And, you know, everybody got their chairs and moved them a little closer to the fire. And then all of a sudden I started hearing what it sounded like. Okay, and this is what it sounded like. It sounded like boom, boom, boom. But about 50 yards from us to the west of us, like somebody was walking, very heavy. Something heavy was walking. And I looked at David. I'm going, you're putting me on, dude. Come on, who's out here right now, you know, trying to pull a fast one on me? Come on, I'm not that stupid. And then all of a sudden, I heard something now to the east of us, the same thing. And now I'm looking at David, and I'm looking at Joe and the other guys, and they're like a deer caught in a headlight. And I'm going, this is not happening. Really? Are you serious? You know, and then now you hear whatever was out there pacing back and forth on either side of the campsite. And they were doing that for about a good 45 minutes. And David and Joe and the rest of the guys didn't say anything. And they just, you know, they're just there with, you know, around the campfire. And you were really serious. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't saying anything. I was just, you know, just relaxing in the chair, drinking a soda and taking it all in. And I didn't know what to think. You know, I thought, okay, maybe it's a bear or maybe it's a deer. But the sound that I was hearing sounded like something very heavy was walking out there. And it wasn't like, you know, like a brushy moving. It was boom, boom. Then it would stop. Then boom, 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 stop. And I'm going, yeah, right. And at that point in time, Kevin, you know, I just thought it was a bear or a cow, because there were some wild cows out there. But that's what was going through my mind at that time. So, you know, after 45 minutes, everything came silent, and we decided to turn in probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. And the next morning, we go hiking. You know, he starts setting up these game cams everywhere. And I think we spent 2 nights there that night. And the following night, nothing happened. Sunday morning came around, and we packed up. And, you know, at that point in time, I think he set up like maybe 6 game cams surrounding the site in different locations where he has been setting up in the previous years. And so we pack up camp and, you know, we go home. And that was my first Bigfoot experience that I had with David, is, you know, I heard something pacing to the east and the west of us around the campsite. And to this day, I'm not going to say it was Bigfoot, because I don't know what it was, but it was something really heavy, because you can hear the footprints. So 2 weeks later, I go back with David, and to retrieve the memory cards on the cameras. And I take my laptop computer, and he takes, and actually he didn't take his laptop, I just took mine. And he grabbed the memory cards from these things, and he threw them in my laptop. And when you do that, it automatically saves all the pictures onto the computer, but the pictures are still on the memory card. So he went through the pictures really fast, just, you know, just started going through them really quick. Got a lot of bear, a lot of deer, a lot of bear, beautiful bear. I mean, close-up shots, and it was just a remarkable one. This is very cool. My wife's going to love this because she's a school teacher. You know, she'll love to show this to the kids. So we didn't get nothing, you know, remarkable that night. You know, I took my computer home with me, and David went home. At about 8 o'clock that night, David called me, and this is in 2009. And he goes, Jeff, he goes, you still have all the pictures on your laptop, right? And I'm going, yeah. all right, why don't you open up your computer and go to the picture number, I don't remember what, 56. And so I did. And he goes, zoom to the top left-hand corner. And I'm going, and I zoom, zoom, zoom. And all of a sudden, what I see is an object that does not look like a tree to me at all. It's standing up, and it's just standing up. I mean, that's because that's when it took the photo. It shows this object standing up and facing to the left. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, is that a bear? I'm going, no, because I don't see the snout on this thing. I see a head, and the arms go past the knees, and I see what are digits on the hands. And my wife is on the other couch watching TV, and I go, hey, Cheryl, come here. You go, what? You go, what is this? She goes, holy crap. She goes, that's not a bear. And I'm going, I know, it doesn't look like a bear. And she goes, shut up. And I'm going, look, David just called me to say, look at this picture. And we go, you got to be freaking kidding me. So that photo is on my website right now. And I told David, I go, David, would you allow me to put this on my website? And he goes, well, sure. Because, you know, that photograph is his. It came off of his camera, off of his memory card, so it's his property. But David goes, but I'm going to warn you, Jeff. And I go, what? He goes, you're going to get slammed if you put that on your website. And I'm going, what are you talking about? I know what that thing is. He goes, it's not a bear, and it's not a person in a suit. I mean, the thing is too tall. And I'll explain later what we did to go back and investigate the area. But he told me, you're going to get slammed. I mean, what are you talking about? I'm going to get slammed. He goes, trust me, you're going to get slammed if you put that on your website. And I said, okay, well, whatever. Can I put it on my website? He goes, sure. Boom, it went onto my website. I found the picture to be so remarkable. To me, I know what it is, okay? It's a freaking Bigfoot. That's Sasquatch. I mean, that's it. That's him walking up a hill. And I put it on, and I decided to go viral on it. Because I was so excited. This is the first time I go up. And I'm so excited, I just started sending out pictures to everybody, and I mean everybody. And sooner than what happened is the picture went viral, and people picked up on it, and people started to respond on blogs and on people's websites, wherever the picture was. And they were tearing it apart, and they were tearing me apart, and they were tearing David apart. And what I mean by that is, they were pretty much saying, okay, it's a person in a suit, it's a shadow, it's a bear.
All right, we have to step away for break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeffrey Gonzalez. Jeffrey, when we went away, you were talking about these internet experts tearing the photo apart. But you know, unfortunately, that's just life on the internet.
Right.
People that can't be experts anywhere else, in some cases, they're acknowledged idiots elsewhere. But what they do is they get on the internet and become experts.
Yep.
And pontificate about things they know nothing about.
No, they don't. They're what you call armchair quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they love to do it. And they're good at it, let me tell you. Oh, you know, now I found out what it meant by they're going to slam you. And did they ever slam me? But, you know, I stuck up for what I believed, and I went after every single one of them that were slamming at me. And people did not like it, because apparently I had been the first to do this when it came to Bigfoot, to stick up, you know, the person to come and stick up for what he believed in. And I was having people, you know, actually commenting, go get him, Jeff, go get him, you know, because, you know, I believe what that to be, you know, is the real thing. And I knew for a fact it wasn't a hoax. It wasn't somebody in a costume. And you know, because later on I took my team out there and we investigated the site, took measurements and the whole nine yards, and we found that the creature was to be about 9 feet tall. And a lot of people were saying, okay, well then it was a bear scratching its butt on a tree. But when you look at the photograph, sure there's trees to the right of it, but because of the distance, when you actually go to the exact spot where the creature was at, there is no tree behind it. But it's actually walking up a hill at about 40 degrees in between two trees that were about 10 feet on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how can that be a bear scratching his butt on a tree?
It'd have to have a really big butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look,
some bears may have a big butt, but I doubt any of them have a 10-foot butt.
No, exactly. So, and everybody's going, well, how do you know how tall the thing was? Well, if you look at the photograph, its head is sort of kind of coming out of some branches and some leaves. Well, those trees and those leaves and branches were still there when we went back, and that's how we were able to measure it.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it was a person in a costume, well, that person should have been close to 9-10 feet tall in order to fit into that costume. Now, people were saying, okay, well, somebody saw the game cam and was pulling a hoax on you. Sure, you know, 2.5 hours in the middle of nowhere, someone is hunting and sees a game cam and says, hey, I'm going to go to my truck and put on the suit and come back and, you know, and pull a fast one on them. Yeah, right. You know, so you have to take all these theories people were throwing at you and debunk them. And that's what my team and I did. We debunked every single one of them. So, you know, are people going to take what, you know, what we pretty much gave as you know, tried to debunk our evidence? And no, they didn't want to hear it. They just wanted to pretty much say it's a hoax. It's a person in a suit or it's a bear.
Well, debunkers generally do their business by proclamation anyway, not by research.
Right.
Now some do research and based on their research come to a different conclusion, and that's okay.
Right.
That's not a debunker, that's an investigator.
Right.
But a debunker is mainly a bunker. He's not a debunker, he's a bunker. All the bunk is in his camp because they just do it by proclamation, not by research.
Right.
If you do research and the data goes somewhere else, then you follow the data and it just says what it says.
Now, one particular person that really upset me was, and I'm going to pretty much say who it was because, you know, she just thrashed me big time when that photo came out. And that's the Oregon Bigfoot, Autumn Williams. You know, she came out and she said it was a shadow. Okay, she said that photo, what we got was a shadow. And let me tell you, she got the photograph, right? And she pretty much tore it apart with arrows and she started, you know, photoshopping it and saying that, you know, at 2 o'clock the shadow was this way, the sun was coming in this way, and so what you have is a shadow. And I'm going, really? So those long arms and the digits on the hands, those are shadows? And she said, what you got is a shadow. I would have taken her more seriously if she would have said that was a bear. Okay. But she knew that thing wasn't a bear because
mm-hmm.
she knows what a bear looks like. If she said that was a bear, then I think her Bigfoot people would have come back and said, well, are you nuts? That's not a bear. There's no way that's going to be a bear. Grizzly bears don't exist in California anymore. So she had to come up with another you know, theory and said it was a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is because she knew we had the picture of the thing walking up the hill. But she couldn't come up and say that's what we had, because that would pretty much, you know, explain everything. I mean, you have to understand that there's a lot of these Bigfoot investigators, and I'm not saying all of them are, but a lot of them are out there to make money, okay? And a lot of these people in the paranormal field are only into it to make money, period. That is it, okay? And when I tried to get to the bottom of this with Autumn Williams, it's like, you know, tried to get into her website to go look at more stuff. I'm going, how come I can't get into it? Well, you know, I think you have to actually physically be a member and pay a weekly or monthly fee and all this. So, you know, people, there are people into this who are into it to make money, and that's it, and write books, and that's it.
I am compelled, though, at this point to say that not everybody who writes a book makes a DVD, does a TV show. Number one, they're not all in it just to make the money, but if they're going to get you the information, they have to recoup their cost for getting it for you. And, you know, if I write a book, that's time. And time spent in research and sometimes time, money spent in securing documents and so forth.
Right.
And so I don't think that everybody that writes a book or does a DVD is...
No, I think I probably misspoke when I said that. Not everybody who writes books are in it to make money, period. No, that's not what I meant. The people who were really, really thrashing me,
mm-hmm.
I've heard from other people that, well, it makes sense the reason why these people are thrashing you is because if you come out and say that you found the missing link and Bigfoot exists, then it's like, you know, what are they going to do now? You follow me? It's like, okay, I mean, granted, yeah, there's other things you can write about and stuff like that, but, you know, people told me that, you know, the people who were really, really thrashing me were the people that were jealous because mm-hmm. we got that photograph. And they were trying everything in their powers to debunk it because they didn't find it, we did. And well, I was getting a lot of that back then.
Let's move forward in time because you've got a huge story breaking now. I know you can't, we're not going to show the photograph and so forth, but because you've got a press conference coming up. But let's move forward in time
sure.
to this event that has just recently happened. What is it that has happened?
Memorial Day weekend, 2011, a couple weeks ago. We went, there was five of us. Five of us who went up to the spot. Again, Memorial Day weekend. We left Friday after work. Got there, we set up camp. And, you know, we're pretty much there, and nothing happened that night. Now, everybody has to remember, 2.5 hours east of Fresno, the middle of nowhere. Okay, absolutely nowhere. I mean, you have to take dirt roads to get to the spot. Now, we've been having a lot of snow up in the mountains, a lot of rain, so the dirt roads were really bad. I have a Ford F-150 pickup, and I don't have four-wheel drive on it. It's just regular. Now, David has a Jeep, 4x4, and Joe has a Toyota truck, which is 4x4, but I'm the only one who doesn't have a 4x4. So I have to take my truck because I'm taking a lot of equipment with me, you know, night vision, cameras, the whole nine yards. So I have my back of my truck stacked all the way to the top with ice chests with food, sodas, water, camping equipment, everything. So here I'm hitting the gas and going through the dirt roads and slamming in, and, you know, the water's going past the tires and I'm barely spinning and I'm barely making it out of there, going to the next one. Hopefully I'm not going to get stuck. And if I get stuck, well, then David's going to have to get, you know, the big heavy-duty rope and pull me out with his 4x4. But luckily, I barely made it into the campsite. So we, we're there. We set up, you know, all the equipment, and we have three trucks there, and we have six guys. Joe, David, me, one, two. Yeah, there's six guys. And so that night, you know, nothing happened. He did some yelping, and, you know, we didn't get any response. Well, we got some response, but I think it was a dog or a coyote way, way, way out in the distance. The next day comes around, we go hiking, you know, we're looking, nothing. I mean, it was very, very quiet. That night came around, he did some yelping. Now, this is Saturday night, he did some yelping. got some responses back in the far distance. Again, you know, I don't know what it was. Could have been a coyote, a dog. I don't know. But nothing major, you know. And so it's 11 o'clock comes around. The clouds are coming in, and I remember my wife saying, you better not go because it's supposed to rain. And if it's going to rain, you guys are going to get snow. And I'm on that. It's not going to snow. It's, you know, Memorial Day weekend, it never does. So, you know, I'm thinking about this as one, you know, it's about 12 o'clock and at night, and the clouds are starting to come in. Everybody's getting tired, so we turn in. And 1 o'clock in the morning comes out, it starts raining really heavy, and it's like, crap. The tent's starting to leak, so we're running outside, putting plastic over. We're trying to keep everything all nice and dry, and it's getting really miserable. Joe, one of the guys in the tent, goes, you know what? We better get out of here right now, or we're going to get snowed in. And David, you know, gets up and he goes, well, you know, if we go right now, pack up and leave, and one of our vehicles gets stuck in the mud, we're screwed because it's nighttime, and what are we going to do then? So Joe goes, you're right, so let's just wait until morning. So sun comes around, the sun rises, and now it's starting to snow. So we get out, and it's like, crap, we didn't even have breakfast. We started just tearing down everything. And we throw everything in the back of my truck, you know, we didn't even bother making anything look pretty. We just started throwing stuff in there because it started to snow really bad. We're at 5,500 feet, okay? And David's Jeep didn't start because he was having problems, and it wasn't even cranking. It wasn't even turning over. And I'm going, crap. So we try to jump it, nothing. The battery was dead. So he goes, damn it, I'm going to have to leave my Jeep here. And then he's looking at me, and he's looking at the dirt roads, and he's going, Jeff, you're going to have to leave your truck too. I'm all, what are you talking about? I'm going, you're not going to be able to get out of here in your truck because you don't have a 4x4. You're done. And I'm going, and I'm looking at the dirt roads, and it's just so muddy. He's right. I mean, I could barely even start to, I had no traction. You know, I would be slipping. As soon as I pulled out of the camping site, I was starting to slip. So, unfortunately, we left both of our vehicles there in the middle of freaking nowhere. And I was scared out of my mind because, you know, what am I going to do without my truck? I have to go to work, you know. I'm leaving all my camping equipment in the back, every single stuff, okay, that I have in the back. I even had some stuff in the back seat that I, you know, that I had that was, you know, amplifiers and stuff like that, cameras and all that kind of stuff that I couldn't take with me.
Okay, Jeff, we have to step away for break. We'll pick up right there when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeffrey Gonzalez. And, Jeffrey, when we had to go away for break, you were telling us about you had to leave your truck.
Yes.
Okay, we pick up there and take us forward.
Okay, we had to leave both vehicles there. My F-150 Ford with the extra cab in the back, and my David Ragosa's Jeep, 4x4 Jeep. A station wagon Jeep type of, you know, vehicles, because it would not start. So we all jumped in our Joe Wall's vehicle, which is a Toyota and a 4x4, and yet it was a pickup. So we threw as what we could in the back, and six of us big grown guys climbed in inside, and we were squished. And then we said, just get the hell out of here. So we started going, put it in 4x, and tires were spinning, going into mud puddles. Started, you know, the snow was starting to pack. Tires were spinning, and you know, he'd hit the gas and go through, you know, mud puddles that were as high as over the tires. And you could hear him spinning, and we're going, please, 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 please. Okay, we got to that one. Let's try another one. And there was no way I would be able to go out of there with my truck, not in a million years. So there was a couple of occasions where, at the very top of the mountain on our way out, you know, the truck just got stuck. And we had to get out, and the tires were spinning, and he'd back out and spin and go forward, spin. So we had to go and find pieces of wood and throw debris into the track, so we can get traction. And in two hours, finally we got out of that place where if the roads were dry, we would be there in 15 minutes. But it took us 2 hours to get out of there, and we finally got out of there. Now, halfway out of there, I'm going, oh my God, I forgot my computer on the back seat of my truck. And so in the rushing of trying to get us out of there as soon as we can so we didn't get snowed in, I forgot my laptop in the back seat. And it was buried under a bunch of clothes and blankets in the back seat of my truck. So all the way down, I am freaking out. I'm just so freaking out because, I have everything in that laptop, social security numbers, bank accounts, everything. And the reason why I brought it up is so that we can throw the memory card just like, for the game cameras, but I forgot to get it. So made it home, Sunday afternoon, I'm freaking out because my laptop is up there. Next morning, I don't work, and I'm stuck at home doing nothing, basically. And I'm stressing because of my laptop computer. So that afternoon, I called Alan Thomas, who was one of the guys that were with us. He is he had very well because he had some problems with his legs. And I said, Alan, I left my laptop up there, dude. I need to go get it. I am so stressing out right now. I need to go get it. And he goes, I'll take you. So Tuesday morning, he goes, I'll take you up Tuesday morning. We'll go up and get it. And I go, well. He goes, we're not going to be able to drive in, and I'm going to have to track down in there, and it's about 2.5 miles and about 45 to an hour minute walk. He goes, do you have somebody that can go with us that can walk down with me, because I don't want to walk by myself, because there's bear up there. And he goes, yeah, let me call my brother Jimmy, and I'll see if he can go. Well, sure enough, he can go. So Tuesday morning comes around, they come and pick me up. 2.5 hours later, we get to the site. Alan stays at the top of the hill and parks it in the station wagon, and Jimmy and I start to track down to the locations where our trucks were. Jimmy has my 12-gauge shotgun, and I have my video camera in one hand, just in case. So we're walking down, and we're about 200 yards from the locations where our trucks were. Then we start to run into some barricades. And what I mean by barricades is there were 4 barricades total. The first barricade that we came up to was somebody found an old dry tree and dragged it and placed it across the dirt road so nobody could continue. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, Jimmy, he goes, that wasn't here. Because Jimmy wasn't with us on the camping trip. He just came down to walk down with me. And I go, Jimmy, he goes, that wasn't here Sunday morning when we got out of here, because obviously we couldn't get out. And we're looking at it, and we're looking around. We don't see any footprints. We don't see any fresh tire marks. So I'm thinking, who in the hell put this here? And so I'm thinking, I don't know. I have no clue. So we're walking a little bit further, another 30 feet. We come up to another barricade. Somebody got 2 broken tree limbs, and you can see where the impressions were at on the side of the dirt road. They actually physically dragged them over and placed them in the middle of the dirt road. And I'm going, okay. That was not here Sunday morning when we left. And again, I'm looking around for fresh tire marks or fresh, footprints that somebody would have done that, but I don't see anything. I'm going, did a bear do this? I'm going, I don't think so. Why would a bear move trees, limbs to the middle of a dirt road? Doesn't make any sense. So we continue on, another barricade. Somebody placed another old piece of log tree limb across the dirt road. And the first 3 were not heavy. I mean, you can physically go over there, pick it up, and move them out of the way. So what would be the purpose of somebody doing this? I don't know. And I'm thinking maybe a park ranger saw our vehicles and that we had to leave them in a hurry because we got snowed in, and maybe they were trying to protect all of the stuff that we had in the back of my truck because it was basically open season. That, you can go in there and take, all the stuff I had. So we continue walking. And now this is the 4th barricade that we come up to. It's about 100 yards from the trucks. And this is a 14-foot-long tree log Now, 2 years ago, they had a massive snowstorm up there, and where the weight of the snow broke a bunch of trees, and the trees just started falling wherever they would fall, just across the, you know, the dirt roads, anywhere they would fall. So the park rangers came in a couple of years ago and started sawing all these things out of the way, and they just left them to the side of the dirt road. Well, this particular log was 14 feet long. The radius was about 14 inches. So this was a little larger, about the same, maybe a little larger than a telephone pole, okay, as far as the width goes. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, this wasn't here on Sunday morning when we left. We didn't put it here. And I'm looking around, and Jimmy goes, here's where it was before. And you can see the impression on the side of the dirt road where it was. Somebody moved it 4 to 5 feet over in the middle of the road. Not across, but placed it directly in the middle. So I got down on my knees, and I tried to push it. And Jimmy starts laughing. He goes, you're not going to move that. And I tried my best to move that, and I could not do it by myself. And I'm looking around. We don't see any footprints. We don't see any tire marks. So I'm going, okay, did a park ranger... I'm trying to debunk this. I'm going, did a park ranger come in and maybe on horseback... tied a chain around this thing and dragged it over to the middle. And I'm telling this to Jimmy, and I'm going, well, then where would the markings on the road be from moving it? You know, the impressions and all that. And I go, I don't see anything. And on this tree log, you still have dry branches still growing, not growing out of them, but that are dead, but are on the tree log. So if you tried rolling it, these tree branches would stop you from rolling. Okay, mm-hmm. Or if you would have actually rolled it, then the tree branches would have snapped, but they're all intact. Okay, you follow me?
Yeah. So someone placed it there.
So it's like, did someone physically pick this damn thing up? And we're Jimmy and I are trying to estimate the pounds on this thing, and we're going, because I work for the phone company, I work for AT&T telephone, so I know how heavy these things are. And we estimated the tree to be about 1,000 pounds. Okay, and so, you know, I'm going, and I'm going, okay, how did that get there? Somebody physically moved it 5 feet over from where it was before. There's no markings on the floor of any type of movement on dirt. There's no track, nothing. It's just like somebody picked it up and moved it over 4 feet. What the hell? So... you know, I'm tripping out. At that point in time, I am totally tripping out now. So we continue on. We get to the site of the vehicles. And I'm... No.
All right. We have to step away for a break. And we shall return in just a moment with Jeffrey Gonzalez.
Seat feature, and I'd like to see you in our community. It's only $6.95 per month and worth far more. I hope you will join today.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I am delighted you're here, and we're talking with Jeffrey Gonzalez, and we're talking about Bigfoot. Now, when we went away for break, Jeffrey, you were almost to your truck. You had to hike back into your truck. So let's pick up there and move forward.
Okay, well, we're past the big log now, and we're getting to the trucks. Now, I know everybody, I know this is probably sounds boring, and, you know, I'm just talk, get to the point, hurry up. But you have to understand that these events play a big part in the finding of the impressions, and it's going to debunk a lot of the theories and answer questions for you. So that's why I have to do it this way, because you just have to. So we get to the vehicles. you know, Jimmy and I, we finally get to the vehicles, and we're very careful. We're looking down on the ground, and we're trying to see if we can find any footprints and any type of evidence to tell us that maybe something else was around here at yesterday or the day before. And we're walking around. I'm looking at my trucks. The trucks are exactly the way we left them. All the stuff in the back of my pickup is still there. Not one thing was touched. I'm looking around my truck to see if maybe there was a bear, climbing up and scratching the side of my paint. Nothing. Everything was still the same, exactly the way we left it. Then Jimmy called me over and says, "Hey, come here." And so I go, "What?" I go walk over about 40 feet from where the trucks are at, and I look down, and there's a footprint, about 12 inches long. You have the big toes, you can see the big toes, you can see the toes on it, and I put my boot against it, and my boot's about 12 inches. I'm going, cool. And now you have to understand, I'm not too excited because we have found already from previous times we've been there other footprints as well. So, I've actually cast a couple of them, and I have, matter of fact, on my website, you can see me holding two casts, and one of the videos showed me actually physically casting one of them. So, the Bigfoot feet don't really excite me anymore because I've seen so many up there. It's just, another one. So I take video, I take pictures of it with my iPhone, and, I look around, and that's it. Everything is still the same. So I said, very cool. So I open my truck, my laptop. Oh, what a relief. I got my laptop computer. I throw it over my shoulders, we're out of there. We start walking up. It takes us about an hour and a half because now we're walking up the hill. So we get to Alan, and we tell him what we found as far as the logs. I show him the pictures and all that. He says, cool. He's all excited. And so we go back home. 2.5 hours, we get home, and they drop me off, and boom. I get a call from David. Jeff, he goes, tomorrow morning, we're going up there to get our truck. I'm all, cool, okay, whatever. We need to get my trucks out of there. So hopefully one more day, it's going to give it more time to dry up, and we'll be able to get the trucks out there. So he said, I'm taking a mechanic, so hopefully he can get my Jeep working. And I'm buying two brand new batteries so we can stick in there, and hopefully that'll get me home so I can get to the shop. Like, cool. So Alan picks me up tomorrow morning with Jimmy, his brother, because he wants to go because he's all excited now because, it's, the logs and the footprints just totally piqued his interest. And him and Alan have always been Bigfoot freaks, just like me. So we're all excited. We get to the top. We're waiting for David to show up and Joe and all the guys. They all show up. And so we all pile up into one truck, and we go back up, down in there. And it's 4x4, and boom, going. I'm in the back. They actually stick me in the back of the bed of the truck, and he's going through these holes, and I'm bouncing up and down, and I drop my video camera, and I'm just like slamming all over the place because I'm the young punk. So I got the one who was in the back of the bed. So we come up to the locations where the barricades are at. So I didn't tell Joe or David about these, but they're looking at this and they're going, interesting. So we start moving one by one. We drive up, stop, move the other ones. Then we come up to the 1,000-pound log. And they're looking at this, and they're going, holy crap. And I show them, look, dude, this is where it was, right here. It sure was. So me and another guy tried pushing it. We couldn't do it. Somebody else got it on their knees. We tried, couldn't do it. It took four grown guys to give it all they had to push this log to the side of the dirt road. Okay? That's how heavy this thing was. And by doing it, we were on our knees, and we were using our feet for leverage. So you can see where our feet dug into the dirt so we can have the leverage to push this thing or roll it and move it out of the way. And in the process of rolling it, you hear the tree branches on the actual log start breaking. Snap, pop, boom, we finally push it. So very cool. So the rest of the guys decided, we're going to walk from here up there, and we're going to look and see if we can find any footprints. So I said, heck with it. I've already done this. I'm driving with Joe. We're going to get there quicker. So I got in the passenger side. Joe drove in. We came up to the campsite. I'm looking at my vehicles. Everything's cool. Everything's there. I get out. I'm the first one out. Careful when I'm walking. Careful while I'm walking. I'm looking around. I'm looking at the trucks, and they look perfectly fine. I turn around. I'm looking at my driver's side window and driver and passenger side window, and I kind of like my I put my hands on my knees and I went down a little bit and I went, and I thought I was going to be sick. I really did, and I felt like I was going to throw up for some reason, because what I was looking at was not there yesterday, and I'm looking at the especially the passenger side window. And there's an impression on there with an eye and a nose, and you can see the face, like it's looking at me. And it's totally freaking me out. And I go, Jimmy, get over here now. And he comes over and he goes, and I point, were those there yesterday? And he's looking, and he says, no. And we're both looking at it, and I'm still at odds. And he's freaking out, and I'm freaking out, and the rest of the guys show up, and they're going, and everybody is just, smiles on everybody's faces. Alan is down there, the guy with the cane. He's freaking just smile, I mean, we're all just giddy. And what we found, now I'm going to concentrate right now on the passenger side window, on the driver's side, passenger side window. Something was looking in the driver's side window, okay? The passenger window. So what it did is it actually put its face and upper body against the window. And you can tell it was looking in the window because when it finally moved back, it left the impression of all the hair on it. And so this thing was so dirty, oily, grimy, that when it pressed its face, head, and upper body, shoulders against the window and backed off, it's like someone took a photograph, okay? And you can see this thing looking at you. I mean, it looks like a freaking painting. It's so freaking unbelievable. That's why I almost threw up when I first saw it, because I could not believe what I was looking at. And I'm going, is that a bear? And I'm looking at it and I'm going, I know what a freaking bear looks like. So that's not the face of a bear. Okay, I've got a million things going through my mind. I'm going, is somebody playing a joke on us? I'm going, but no one could have come down here because you could not drive down here. You know, you could not get down here, period. And I'm looking, and the guys are looking at this thing, and they're going, that's not a bear. I'm looking at my bed of my truck, and I see everything is still there. I walk around my truck. There's no markings on any side of the truck, no like claw marks. I'm looking for claw marks, you know, all over the truck. I don't see anything. And I'm looking at all my stuff that I have in the back of the bed. I open the ice chest, and all the food is still there. And when I mean food, I mean, and I remember because I was the one who purchased all the food. I spent $100 on food for that weekend. That's just what I do. I go out and buy food. I bought 3 packages of weenies, 3 packages of bologna, 3 loaves of bread, potato chips, soda, water, relish, you know, vegetables. You go to Vons and you can buy that cold chicken in a package of 9 pieces. Well, I bought 2 of those, but we ate one package, and so we had one package still left. But you have to understand, this thing is not sealed tight. It's just closed. So you got a package of 9 pieces, right?
Yeah, if it had been a bear, they're legendary for ripping stuff apart to get to food.
Exactly. And the mechanic that was there, he goes, he's looking at what I have back there, and he's looking at all the food. He goes, you're telling me this food was left here for the past 2 days? And I go, yes. He goes, that's not a bear. And the rest of the guy goes, that's not a bear, because a bear would have ripped. He said, all that you have in the back of the truck would have been everywhere. The ice chest would have been ripped apart. I had cinnamon rolls. I had opened cinnamon rolls, not more than 3 feet from the impression. Okay, that wasn't touched. So I had open food. I had a bear's buffet going on. Okay? He didn't have to do anything. If he didn't want it, he could have just gone up there and opened the ice chest and started munching. That's how easy access the food was. But nothing was touched. Okay? So the guys are going, that's not a bear. What's on that impression on there right now, it's not a bear. And it doesn't even look like a bear. As a matter of fact, it's scaring us to pieces. If you know, I'm looking around in the back of me, I'm looking, I'm going, what the hell is that? Because, you know, to this day, I don't know what a Bigfoot looks like. Nobody knows what a Bigfoot looks like. Only the people who have actually seen them up close or have actually accidentally walked upon one and looked face to face know what a Bigfoot looks like. Well, I don't know what a Bigfoot looks like. But what's on the window, my passenger window, is the image of a creature that has full facial hair. And you can see this thing like somebody literally drew a painting on my window. That's how good it is. And then you go to the driver's side window now. Okay, well, now this is all on the passenger side. Now the driver's side window. You're looking at it, and now what you see is, at first, I couldn't quite make it out, okay, because I'm at that point in time, I'm just totally tripping out on the passenger side window. You know, I got this thing looking at me right now. And Jimmy pointed out, here's the handprints right here. Boom and boom. So you see, it looks like it was had its knuckles down on the window, and the thumbprint was at the bottom of the door. So it wasn't a bear, because the bear prints, all the fingers are together. You know, that's just as simple as that. The thumb is way far away on the impression of these with the fingers and the hand. Same goes with the right hand and the left hand. So this creature looked into my driver's side window, face first. So when it pulled back, it left the impressions of the nostrils, the nose, and the lips. The lips, imagine somebody putting lipstick on and kissing the window. But these lips are about 6 and 7 inches long. The nostrils are about 4 inches long. Five inches long.
You took photographs of this.
Oh, yeah.
And you've also removed the windows from your truck. So that when you do this press conference, I guess, are you going to present those?
Absolutely.
So the press will get to see what you saw.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of people to this day don't know that I took the windows off, but I did. Now, so, you know, I'm taking video. I'm taking pictures of my windows. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm narrating on my iPhone. I took, you know, video and pictures with my iPhone. And then I have my JVC camera that I started taking video of that as well. And so did the other guy, started taking video. And I have, you know, Jimmy was, you know, trying to imitate the creature putting his hands on it, but he wasn't physically touching it. He was just trying to imitate how it leaned in to look and then leaned on the other side. And I'm videotaping all this. So, you know, I'm going, this is just way too cool. So we get the Jeep running and we get out of there, and I'm on my way down. I'm in Squaw Valley. I get phone reception, and I'm going, I got to call my buddy Mickey. Mickey Burrow is a crime scene investigator for the Fresno Police Department, has been for 14 years. So he is the one who drives the white van and is called when there is a stabbing, a killing, a murder, or whatever, and goes out there and takes the photographs, the DNA, fingerprints, he does all that. He's also a paranormal investigator on the side, believe it or not. So I call Mickey and I tell him what we have. And I said, dude, you gotta meet me as soon as I come down the hill so you can take DNA samples and take photographs now. And he says, okay, I'm off at 5. So I'm getting closer, we're getting closer to home. He called me, dude, we just had a stabbing at Fresno State. I gotta go to that. And I'm off. Damn it. Like, how long are you going to be there? He goes, a long time. I go, okay, can you do it tomorrow? I said, yes. So I take my wife's car out of the garage and said, not today. So I put my truck in there. I close the door, and so it's in there. Well, the next morning I have to go to work. So I was like, damn it. So I'm driving really slow to work, and I have the impression on the side of my window when I'm driving to work, because I have to. I have to go to work. My wife is a school teacher, so she has to take her car to work and go drop off the kid at daycare. So here I'm driving really close, you know, really slow to my work. Now, on the way down from the hill the day before, it started to sprinkle. So, you know, I'm driving and I'm trying to, you know, to be go drive as slow as I can, but you can only drive down the hill so fast. So I'm going 50 miles an hour because there's people behind me, you know. So, you know, as I was taking the truck out of there, you know, we're getting mud on the tires, were spinning, and there's mud flying everywhere, and I'm going, damn, no, you know, there's mud flying everywhere. So the perfect impressions that were on the window when we found them are not perfect anymore. There's mud, and I don't want to say big mud splatted all over the place, but there's little bits of mud, you know, splats all over the place. And with the wind blowing and the rain, it started to, you know, to clear some of the stuff off of the impressions. But not all of it came off. You can still see the face and the upper body and the shoulders, and you can still see the nostrils. As a matter of fact, you can see what it looks like to be mucus coming from the nostril and dripping down the glass that's still there. Okay, so, you know, the day after, you know, Mickey comes to my work, I wait for him, he gets off his truck and he's looking at this, he starts taking pictures, doesn't say anything, starts taking pictures, he got his DNA, I had some DNA swabs that I purchased in the past for a special occasion, and sure enough, this is a special occasion, so I gave him the DNA swabs where you take the DNA on the swab and you seal them in this plastic tube thing, and boom, they're ready to go for delivery type of deal.
Okay,
and
so you got DNA, you got pictures, you got video. Has the DNA been tested yet?
No. Now, and I'll tell you why. We'll get to that. And now, Mickey called me over after he's taken the pictures, and he goes, Jeff, he goes, what? He goes, you see all this right here? And he's pointing at the upper torso of the body. He goes, this is hair or fur. And coming from a forensic expert, you know, I take him for his word. He goes, this is hair or fur right here. All this is hair or fur. Because it looked like when you have your a wet dog, and the wet dog puts his body against, I don't know, a window, you know, that's what it looks like. So he told me right off the bat, it's hair or fur. 100% guarantee on that. So 2 days later, my buddy, who's part of the team, finds out about what happened, and he goes, where are the windows? I'm going, still on the truck. This is 2 days afterwards. I'm going, you go take those windows off right now. And I didn't even think about it, to be honest. I'm going, he goes, you need to go take those windows off right now. And I'm going, well, I have to go to work tomorrow morning. Well, you need to go tomorrow morning and take the windows off then and do it. And I'm going, damn. So I call my supervisor, and I tell him, can I off shift? Can I go? And I call my buddy Alan. He has friends who does that, you know, take off windows, windshields, and all that. And, you know, they gave me a price of $300. I'm like, $300. So I'm going, I have to do it. I have to do it. So I take my truck in. They take off both windows. I preserve them. I put them in some paper like Mickey told me to put them in. And I have the windows now taken off, and they are in a special spot. And they are ready for this Thursday. So now you know that, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's Photoshop, or it's an app. If he took video with his iPhone, then it's an app, and, you know, it's not really on there. Well, people, I have the windows taken off. I have the windows. Okay. So now
Thursday you're going to have this press conference, right?
Yes, Thursday afternoon.
Okay, so when you have the press conference, I would presume you will expose the windows to the press. They Absolutely. Can take their own pictures.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Also, too, to let you know, and I don't know if you know about it. I don't think so, because obviously you would have told me about it. But yesterday, when June 1st, when we came down from the hill, I actually posted one picture that I had on my iPhone on my Facebook wall. And I had, because I was so excited, you know, I wasn't, you know, just go, look, people, look at what we found on the windows of my truck. And people were responding back, what? You know, what the WTF? You know, they were just freaking out looking at this thing. Well, you know, I sent David the video and phone that I took off my iPhone, and he called me back and says, Jeff, take that off your truck, off the Facebook page right now. And I'm all, why? And he goes, this is probably the best stuff I have ever seen compared to the Patterson film of 1967. And this is David Ragosa talking, because he's, you know, he's a Bigfoot investigator, so he knows all of the all the stuff that's out there right now. And he goes, take it off right now. So I did. I go, boom, 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 delete, 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 delete. And it's all gone. Well, yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I guess the 3 hours that the photo was up, somebody copied it and released it on the internet 2 days ago. So that person sent it to Lauren Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And for all those people who don't know who Lauren Coleman is, he is Mr. Bigfoot himself. And he posted it on his website, and he posted it on his Facebook page. And that was pretty much it. So it's out there right now. If anybody wants to see it, I didn't put it on my Facebook page because, you know, I'm trying to keep this thing on the hush-hush. But the picture that was copied and taken and now released is a very, very bad picture of what the impression looks like.
Well, I have seen that, and okay. I've read Lauren's article that goes with it. And even if that is a very bad picture, it's very obvious that, you know, you're looking at a face.
Yes.
That's very obvious.
Yes.
Now, since you brought up Lauren Coleman, let's talk about that a little bit. Because Lauren did what I would call a very cautious article about it. And he sort of tells you why he's being cautious right in the beginning, and that is because of the whole, you know, Bigfoot in an ice chest, you know, the big hoax last year, or what was it, last year, year before?
Right.
And I think it would be normal, completely normal, for someone like him to be cautious about it.
Well, but you have to remember, though, is that he knows David really well. Now, I'm not the one who's putting up, who asked to. David Ragosa is the Bigfoot investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Lauren Coleman knows him very well. Okay, David is really respected highly in this field. So David was the one who issued the press conference. He's the one who said, you know what, Jeff?
Okay, we have to step away for break. We'll pick up there when we come back. More with Jeffrey Gonzalez right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jeffrey Gonzalez, the founder and director of Singer Paranormal Society. And this is absolutely an astounding story that he's sharing with us and telling us about some absolutely astounding evidence that he and some others have gathered relative to Bigfoot. And, you know, I mentioned the whole thing with the Bigfoot hoax, you know, we've got it on ice, that sort of thing. Turned out to be a monkey suit, a huge hoax. And, you know, I did several shows on that, two or three shows on that. And, you know, people are cautious because of that, and quite naturally so. But Jeff is telling us that he's going to hold a press conference on Thursday. The windows on which these impressions were made, and the impression is because this creature, whatever you want to call it, pressed its face and upper body against the window, and it was dirty and oily, and it left the impression of its face and upper body on the window. He had the windows removed from the truck. He's going to present the windows to the press, let them photograph it, and that should pretty much end all of the stuff about it's photoshopped. I've got to ask you something, Jeff.
Sure.
Has anybody written to you? Has anybody emailed you? I know they've posted on various blogs and stuff, but has anybody emailed you and challenged?
Has anybody what? Say that again?
Emailed. You know what an email?
I couldn't hear you.
Okay, you know what an email is, right?
Oh, email. Now I can hear you.
Yeah, well, I can't scream into the mic like that. All right. Now, has anybody emailed you and challenged that picture in an email so that you know who you're talking to?
No. I mean, we're getting people, obviously, are trying to debunk it, you know, before they even know the facts on how all this came down. What we're going to do at the day at the press conference is Vicki Burrell, the forensic expert, has told me that to map the DNA for what I have is going to cost you in the thousands of dollars. Okay, I don't have that kind of money. Simple as that. You know, I don't have thousands of dollars to do this. So I have in our possession the window with tons of DNA samples on it. I have the three tubes that Vicki Burrell swabbed off the window 2 days after we arrived with the vehicle. I want to put out there and say, here are the DNA samples. Will somebody please have them mapped? And they need to be mapped because they have to be mapped with animal DNA of bear, monkey, gorillas, because that is the only type of DNA that we can try to compare this to. Okay. People are going right now are going, well, I can't wait until you get the DNA evidence and then that will tell us if it's a Bigfoot or not. Well, sorry, but there is no DNA from a Bigfoot to compare it to. You can't. So people are right now are going, well, we'll just have to wait for the DNA evidence to pretty much say that it's a Bigfoot or not. But you can't do that because no one has ever gotten DNA from a Bigfoot. If they have, it's been inconclusive because they have nothing to compare it to. So right now, what we need to do is we need to alleviate is it a bear? Is it a monkey? Is it a gorilla? If we can pretty much eliminate those out of the picture, then we can continue down the road. Okay, is it a human? Well, you know, if it comes down to where the guys around us, you know, we'll give them DNA samples from us to see if, you know, some of our DNA, you know, got on there by accident. Because Mickey is saying that nowadays you can just walk by and breathe on it, and now your DNA is on that piece of glass.
Mm-hmm.
That's how easy it is now.
Are you guys willing to take a polygraph test?
Absolutely. That was going to be my next thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to take a polygraph? Bring it on. I'm not going to pay for it, but if you want to pay for it, I'll be 110% there to take it.
What about the other guys?
Oh, I'm sure they would too.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all giddy. Kevin, we are so excited. We are so giddy about this. You have to understand, we have our reputations on the line here. Okay? We have our reputations on the line. If we were pulling a hoax, why in the hell would we be pulling a hoax? I'm not making any money on this. So far, I've spent $1,000 just to put on this conference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Taking off the windows, the press releases, the rental of the facility. It's coming out of my pocket because I know what we have is not a homeless person, like Lauren Coleman said, or a freaking bear, because it doesn't look like a bear. And if
no,
it was a bear,
it doesn't.
The back of my bed would have been torn up and all the food would have been eaten up and spread all over the place. Okay? Simple
all right.
as that.
Okay, so Well, let me ask this, and then I started to ask you a question. I'll hold that one for a moment, and let me ask you this one. Have you considered or have you contacted Dr. Jeff Meldrum? Are you there? Well, apparently we have lost him. Let me see. Are you still with us? Well, he is not. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll very quickly give him another call here and see if we can get him back. And we're waiting. Okay, that's not going to work, so let's try it this way. And we'll see what happens here. We've been having some problems with that phone line for some reason. Okay, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm getting a recording from his telephone now, and I've tried it on different telephone lines from here. So let's give it a try like this, and we'll see what we come up with. And I don't know. We're getting some static and some interference. It may be weather somewhere between him and us. Okay, we've got
Hello.
You back with us. I don't know don't know exactly what the story is, but you disappeared. So I was asking this question, Jeff. Have you contacted Dr. Jeff Meldrum with this evidence?
No, we haven't.
You know who he is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
So maybe, Dr. Meldrum could take a look at the impressions on the window. I mean, if he looked at the window itself, he might be able to say, well, it's not this, it's not that. It's obvious, he would give you some sort of anatomical description. That's what his PhD is in.
Sure,
anatomy.
If he wants to come down here and take a look at the windows, I will show him the windows. But I'm not going to drive wherever he is and take the windows to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing, and that's the reason why we're going to have the press conference, is we're putting the word out. And I got a feeling people are going to come out of the woodwork, and this goes for hopefully some of the networks. Come on, give me a lie detector test. I'll take one. Take what we have, the DNA. I have the windows. Swab off the DNA and get them tested. Let's do it. I have nothing to hide.
All right. Now, I had asked you if anyone had sent you any email. And the reason I asked that question, a lot of times the internet experts hide behind the nicknames that they use, the screen names that they use, and you don't know who they really are.
Right.
And so, the mouse roars like a lion, where in real life, you could probably just blink in their direction, they'd run and hide. I really think anybody that seriously is an expert, mm-hmm. that wants to challenge the evidence, really ought to just do it in an email so that you know who you're dealing with. And, a serious scientist would do that.
And I think after the press conference, we're going to get slammed with people offering to do that. Because right now, people have no idea, no freaking clue what we have on my windows. No clue. They think, just like Lauren Coleman and everybody else thinks, it's a hoax. It's a Tom Biscardi freezer, and Bigfoot in the freezer. That's what everybody is thinking, and that's the reason why at the press conference all of the people who are witness to this event are going to be there. Okay? I'm going to reveal the windows. Mm-hmm. You know, we are going to show people video of, you know, the actual windows of me at that point in time, videotaping it, moving back and forth. I'm going to show videos of the logs, of the trees, the dirt road. You know, we have to paint a picture of how this event all went down. So it burns it into the brains of these people on how it went down, so that way they can, for themselves, you know, try to figure out how this happened. You know, and by, you know, showing the people the food in the back of the truck, you know, all that, the picture on the passenger window, it's not a bear. You know, you're going to see it and you're going to freak out. We have shown this, you know, photos to people who don't believe in Bigfoot, period. Okay, Alan Thomas took it to his doctor, and his doctor looked at it and totally freaked out, because he knew what he was looking at was not a bear, but it was a creature of some type. And he told him, put that away, because I go up camping all the time and I don't want to see that.
Well, now that's a very scientific response, isn't it? If I don't look at it, it can't see me. So if I put my head in a hole in the ground, then it can't see me.
And that's what people are doing. They refuse to take this as fact, what we have. And a lot of people who are looking at these photographs, they're totally freaking out, because they know it's not a bear, okay? And they know it's not a person. So what the hell is that?
Okay, what do you think it is?
I think it's what we got on the impression on the passenger side of the window is probably a juvenile Bigfoot.
Okay, now would that be the one that made the footprint that's 12 inches long?
Correct, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what we have on the left-hand side, which is the driver's side window, is a totally different story. Because Mickey Burrell, right now, what he's trying to do is he went on the internet and tried to locate. Actually, he think he found a couple of gorillas, of the face of a gorillas. And he's trying to overlay the impressions of the nostrils, the nose, and the lips on the driver's side window and overlay it to the gorilla's face.
All right, we have to step away from break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jeffrey Gonzalez. He is the director of Sanger Paranormal Society. Let me remind you, if you click on his picture on our website, it will take you to his website. And there's lots of great stuff there. If you're interested in paranormal investigations, there's all kinds of information and photographs and videos and things like that. And, Jeffrey, we're in our final segment of the show tonight. We've only got a few minutes left. Let me ask you this. If I were to ask you, what percentage of certainty do you place on this being a Bigfoot, what percentage would you assign to it?
By gathering all the evidence and all the facts on where we were located and how it all went down, I'm going to say I'm 100% true that this is a juvenile Bigfoot that left the impression on the passenger window.
Okay.
Because I eliminated all the other bear, homeless person, a hoax, us doing it. No, because I know all the other guys. you know, I know they were all in town. I know nobody knew where we were. No, it's obvious what it is.
Well, a homeless.
I've never seen a Bigfoot, so I can't tell you what a Bigfoot looks like. But this is a creature that's full of hair, and it's not a bear.
Mm-hmm.
So we found a 12 inch footprint. We have nostrils. We have a nose and the lips that are very, very large on the driver's side window. This location where we were at has been just flooded with sightings with David and Joel and myself as far as footprints, and they've actually seen, you know, a bunch of stuff up there. You know, they know that there is a family of Sasquatch living in this area.
Well, let me throw this into a homeless person would have definitely made, if he didn't take all your food, he would have at least gotten a sandwich out of that.
Exactly.
And
that's what
maybe
that's
a cinnamon roll.
Me away too, because when Lauren, I got a call from Lee Spiegel of AOL, who writes for Weird, you know, for AOL. And he called me because he goes, Lauren Coleman sent me this press release, and I haven't even got one yet. And this is Lee talking. And so we were talking, and I guess, you know, he interviewed Lauren on what it was. And he, you know, pretty much said, oh, it's a homeless person. And I'm going, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you seriously kidding me? Lauren Coleman just said that was a homeless person who left the impression on the back window. And that just blows my mind. Because, exactly, I think he would have made a sandwich and had a soda.
Yeah, and at least one cinnamon roll.
One cinnamon roll.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do on that press conference is I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy, again, all the food that was left in those ice chests, and I'm going to pile it up on the table so people can see all the food that was left in those ice chests so they can get a grip, because you have to show these people, okay? That's what you have to do, is show these people, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you the video as soon as we got there of the impressions. I'm going to show you all the food, pictures of the food. Because what I did afterwards, Kevin, is I was so grateful that my laptop was still there, and I'm this is me talking, okay, nobody else, but I'm going, the Bigfoot put that 1,000-foot log in the middle of the road either to...
You mean the 1,000-pound log?
What's that?
You mean the 1,000-pound log? You said
1,000-foot. Yeah, the 1,000-pound log in the middle of the road either to keep people out or to keep the cars in. But whatever they did, they protected my laptop. So what I did is on Wednesday morning before we left, I asked my wife, this is what I'm going to do. I go, Cheryl, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all the food that's left in all the ice chests, and I'm going to open up everything what's not open, and I'm going to pile it up on something and leave it there for the Sasquatch to say thank you for not tearing apart my truck. And that's what I did. I took a cover of a tote box that you can get like at Home Depot, like for putting away Christmas, you know, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I got the cover, and before I left here at the house, I go, I want to make it look nice. So my wife said, we have big giant banana leaves out in the backyard. So what I did is I went out and I cut 4 big giant banana leaves, and I also cut some lemon tree branches that we have in the back, and I took that up with me. So I placed the lemon, the banana leaves on top of the cover of the tote box, and I put all the food up there, and I put the lemon branches on the side, and I dressed it up really nice. Now you have fried chicken, you have cinnamon rolls, you have bologna, hot dogs, carrots. What else did I put up there? I think I put some tobacco as well, and I left it, and I took video and pictures of it. So I have that as well, okay, so people can see all the food that was inside the ice chest. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to go spend another $100, and I'm going to buy all the food. Or we had tortillas. We had tortillas in there, too. And I'm going to put everything on top of the table. I'm going to say, look, this was all in the ice chest 5 feet away from the impressions. And then what I'm going to do is I'm also going to show them video from YouTube that you can go, and you can just click on bear attacking truck. And you, there's this one video on YouTube that's awesome, that there's this bear tearing apart the back of this truck looking for food.
I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, if bear smells just a little freaking weenie, he's going to town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? My truck was not touched.
Do you think...
It wasn't a bear, and it wasn't a homeless person. Because, you know, I had sleeping bags back there, too. He could have took a sleeping bag.
Okay. Do you think that bear are scared away by a Sasquatch?
And you know what? Good question. And again, I am not a Bigfoot expert in any means at all. Okay, so we're throwing theories out there. We're saying, what if, because everybody knows, I mean, well, you know what, I'm not going to make that accusation because it's going to make me sound stupid. Let's just say if the Bigfoot were around there, I don't think the bear would have probably come any close because they would have probably been afraid of him. Sure. I mean, if there's a 10-foot Sasquatch out there, I think a bear is going to be terrified of it. So maybe they were hanging around there.
If he's not terrified, he would at least have to respect it. Now, we're almost out of time. How tall do you think this juvenile was?
The head, I'm thinking, see, that's the only thing. I don't know if the juvenile bent itself down to look into the window or it went straight up and just looked into the window. So I can't give you an estimate as far as how high, but let's just say the top of the head of the image on the passenger side window is about 7-8 inches from the top of the window. So, I don't know, 5.5 feet from the ground.
All right. And now, based on a 12-inch foot, would that be about right?
You know what? Good question. Again, I am not a a Lauren Coleman or Jeff Meldrum, who study this stuff all the time. I'm not going to make that accusation because I don't know.
Fair enough. Okay, Jeff Gonzalez, thank you for being with us this evening. We're out of time. If you will, stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it. That's a wrap for this evening. An astounding story. Astounding evidence gathered in support of this story. And it should hit mainstream media about Thursday, maybe Friday morning, as it hits the newspapers. It'll be interesting to see if indeed they decide to report on it. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next week, when we have a lineup of great guests for you. So long, everybody.